Mayakovsky, where are you? I can go to the train station and pick you up. We can speak of the weather on the way back. And if you're coming by bus, I can wait for you at the terminal. And in case that you found enough money to have taken the plane, I will get up early and wait for you. Don't tell me, dear Vladimir, that you lost my address and that you won't come. Not tomorrow, not ever. I still will wait for you because we're feeling miserable here and elsewhere in Europe or in California. We all know that your revolution was bloody, but now the world is letting blood with no change, no hope in sight. You are underfoot, Mayakovsky. I mean, if your bones held together in spite of the years. Let me inform you that poets are leaving their rooms by the hundreds in search of you in every train, plane, and streetcar, and at night in the harbors. Poem 2. In a fugitive and dull light, I am listening to a ball game, staring at a point in space between the radio and Mayakovsky. My team has not been leading since the revolution faltered under our expectation, dear. Wait. So we pretend to play chess with Russians or go skiing in the Arctic like Norwegians on a holiday outing. But it's the problems that are coming to us, finding us reading your books, Mayakovsky, their pages yellowed with dust. We're 100 years younger, waiting with you for the signal that will change the world. I keep asking where the poet is hiding and get smiles and looks of bewilderment for an answer. I go through the alleys of the city, hoping to see him standing by a window. I knock at Lily Brick's door. Her neighbors shouted that she had gone to Paris. I read the papers and the obituaries, but can't find his name. It is not dark enough in Moscow because of the snow. Back in the hotel, there is this phone call. Mayakovsky has committed suicide. I didn't know. In the Berezina of my childhood, soldiers were freezing to death and Napoleon was losing the war. I was crying for the horses because lying on their backs, they loomed bigger than my parents. These days, I hang around some North Beach cafes, yearning for signs of adventure. Something, though, is pressing on my breathing. Customers are happy at this special moment, celebrating the season. I am confused. This moment's future is going to be too wretched to matter. The news creates alienation and fear. Illumination is to be found in oak trees, not in my heart. I'm searching for a poet with whom to share a night of conversation. I remember that trains in Turkey were producing carbon dioxide when the empire was crumbling, and that women were drinking tea by the edge of their desires. I have friends who write mystic poems on ecstatic days, their bare feet playing with the ocean, the car shining at their door, wagging their tails with impatience. Theirs are nice poems unveiling the world the way young men uncover their first love. I have other friends, it's true that they live far from the bay, who encode their poems on the skin of their brain. They live in places so crowded that they take turns and sleep 2 hours at a time. As the siege prevents them from finding paper and ink, they dream of cutting their veins one morning to send a letter to their mother. Mayakovsky, the twin brothers, blood and death, led you into their dark chambers, immured and empty, but your secret visions are traveling from country to country, lodging in different minds, different buildings. Collecting food for the soul in grammar books keeps us from moving further. We lose speech, song, and cohesion. Should we stay where we are, with ideas about immortality boiling like the sun itself yesterday, visibly a furnace ready to reduce everything to radiating beams? Did someone run you ashore on that oceanic night, or did pantaloon clouds drop you on the pavement while the army was celebrating May Day? I want a parade for the fallen poet, a minute of silence, some flowers, there silently crying between her son's inanimate body and yours, I see Akhmatova. There was, long before you and I were born, a woman with a blue apron pouring milk in a painter's cup. Then you appeared, tall, wild, and unconcerned on the lit stage of her kitchen. The years were turbulent. Students were reading you in their beds in their seasons of high fever, and Vermeer was working on your portrait. Mayakovsky, where from the wind that will carry my thoughts to you? They're all gone, Imam Ali, the Che, Rassan Kanafani, and you. The hard ones remain. This spring, the planets align themselves like prisoners waiting to be mowed down in the splendor of an immense sky. Words stuck in my throat, dark shiny pebbles, the bullet that killed you. We are angry, and you know what it means. Dear M, with the shirts worn inside out, they're dieting and crying. They are too rich, of course. They go on plundering jungles, taming rivers, and discoursing on pleasure boats. Some of us think that you are not worse off in your known world than the emaciated people who crowd the barrios of the America. Dearest, colors swirl within one's brain when one looks into the void left by the departure of time. Energy particles pour into the eyes, and one ceases to consider if it is better to live or to die.